Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, that's the sound of rock cracking right here in the middle of November, going toward the end. This is the week of Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and we're glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net, and last week we ended the show talking about, I said that there's a way to end racism immediately. And I talked about that, said we may discuss that on this week's show. And I said the election, I wanted to wait till the election's over, and I do. And that's because I don't want anybody to say, oh, this is for one side or the other in an election. So we're going to do a show, and I'm going to explain how we as a country can end racism very quickly, and it can be done. It's very doable, and I'll explain that in a coming show here in the next week or two. But we still have an election going on in the state of Mississippi, and they're still counting votes in Florida. By the time this show is on the air, Thanksgiving week, I hope they finish counting. I believe now we know the governor will be Ron DeSantis. And I've told you before, I've been behind him for governor of Florida. We had him on the show back before he was ever a congressman, back several years ago. And he did a very good show. He knows the Constitution. He knows American history. He knows Florida, and he'll be a great governor. And congratulations to Ron DeSantis. Now, we don't, they're hand recounting as I speak the votes for the Senate. And we believe the now governor, who was term limited and ran for the U.S. Senate against the long-term incumbent, Mr. Senator Nelson in Florida, we believe that Rick Scott will be the apparent winner of the U.S. Senate seat. So that's where the Republicans were very happy to pick up one on the Democrats. So that's going on. And we have so much going on. You'd think the Georgia race should be over, but as of recording this show, Stacey Abrams came close, but she didn't. She wanted to get the Secretary of State there in Georgia was running for governor, and if he did not get over 50%, 50% plus one, then it would go into an automatic runoff. And that's what Stacey Abrams was hoping, to try to find enough votes to get to force it into another runoff, and was contemplating doing a lawsuit to force it anyway. So I don't know how that's going on. But as I said, November 6th, we're hoping all the elections are over with. Here we are, November 17th, 19th now, going into Thanksgiving week, and we knew the one in Mississippi was going to be a runoff, because that's the way everybody had predicted it would be, a runoff. And so it's in Mississippi for the U.S. Senate. It's Cindy Hyde Smith, an appointed Republican. They ran in a special election, her and another Republican, Chris McDaniel, and then Mike Espy. And Mike Espy, being a Democrat, was in the Clinton administration and was the first African-American congressman ever elected since Reconstruction in the state of Mississippi back in the late 80s. But I will say this, that it's an interesting campaign. Cindy Hyde Smith had about 40%, and Mike Espy had about 40%. She was ahead by just a little bit. And then Chris McDaniel had around 20%. So that is where that's why there's a runoff. And if the Republicans can get their act together, Cindy Hyde-Smith should win in Mississippi. But you don't know the turnout. And if people, if you're in the state of Mississippi and you want a conservative, you want conservative judges, and if there is another Supreme Court opening, which could be very likely, then you need to vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith. And I've heard some people go, well, I don't like Cindy. I wanted Chris McDaniel. Well, Chris McDaniel was a candidate that worked hard, very conservative, friend of Ted Cruz, and I would love to see him up there working with Ted Cruz. But he's not. He's not going in this election. So, therefore, your choice is between Mike Espinal and Cindy Hyde-Smith. And if there's a Supreme Court justice that's up, you... Donald Trump needs all the help he can get. You saw what happened in the last fiasco with Kavanaugh, and you better expect if there would be a bigger fight, especially if one of the liberal judges happened to pass away or was unable to continue on the court, then you talk about a knockout, drag-out fight, and Donald Trump will need every vote he can get in the U.S. Senate. So, it's a no-brainer to get out and vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith if you live in the state of Mississippi. As far as I'm concerned, if you love the Constitution and you like to see conservative senators in the U.S. Senate, may not be as conservative as you want, but it's a lot better than having somebody under the influence of Chuck Schumer making a decision on a United States Supreme Court justice that may be appointed by Donald Trump here in the next few years. Who knows? So that's the reasoning. There's still campaigns going on. So we're going to get to how we can end racism quickly in the United States of America. We're going to do that on another show, hopefully in 2 or 3 weeks. I do want to say thank you again this week of Thanksgiving. I thank God for this country, for those who've been before us, and yes, we got a history that's been glorious and a history that's been sad in a lot of cases, but who can deny this is the greatest country on the face of the earth? And people want to talk about all the bad things, but why do people want to come here if it's so bad? We got this invasion, a caravan, that it's still coming up, and some of the first ones are getting to the border now. And wanting asylum, of course, like I said, the asylum seekers should seek asylum in the first country to get to if they're fearing for their life, and that was the country of Mexico for many of them. So we will have to wait and see what happens on that point. But very important that we have immigrants into the United States, but they come in legally. We cannot have people coming through illegally and not knowing who they are, what they're doing, and if they're here to harm us or not. Here we go. I want to play this little spot from the old band ZZ Top.
I want to thank you.
Well, that was ZZ Top singing, I Want to Thank You, and I want to thank you, the listeners, for continuing to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I know during the election period of leading up to the election, we got a lot of new listeners from around the country. I know there's some from Michigan and Virginia and even California, places around the country. So we thank you for tuning in to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Hope you'll keep listening to us, because we talk about things here that you'll hear some of it in the press, but you're never going to hear all of it. And we pick the things that we think are interesting coming up to put on a show once a week. It comes uploads every Monday morning, so keep listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We appreciate that. We appreciate you telling your friends and neighbors. We don't try to please everybody in the country. What we try to do is make sure our listeners understand what's at stake. We love the Constitution. We love the way our founding fathers, and I believe very much in the divine providence, put this nation together on the of number one, George Washington and the Revolutionary Army put this nation on the map of freedom. We had those who signed the Declaration of Independence, and that was a very courageous moment to break free from Britain. But it was our soldiers, those who fought and many died so that America could be free. And under the leadership of George Washington and others at the U.S. Constitutional Convention, we got the Constitution experiment in self-governance. The nations of the world laughed, and nobody expected it to succeed, but it succeeded in such a remarkable fashion. And yes, we had mistakes in our founding. Yes, we had those who supported slavery, and it set our nation back in such a way that in many ways we're still recovering. Just look at this past election, and we see calls of racism. We see people don't feel like they are getting the full American privilege of being an American. And that's something we want to work on here at this show. And that's why I want to do a show about the word racism and how do you end racism. And it's very important for me, for our audience, to understand the vision of America is not to go back to where the Constitution was in 1788. We have grown. We have expanded. We got technology. But the principles of our founding documents, the U.S. Constitution, are so remarkable. And we do stand on those pillars. The giants of the ages, with Franklin, Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, all these giants who put together this country, so many more of them, they, I believe, were led by divine providence, and that's why our nation has thrived, and we have to understand where we came from and how it, as we as a nation, have gotten through slavery and Jim Crow laws, and we've gone through these remarkable events like the Civil War, the World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, what went on during the 60s, the Cold War, and wearing out the long-term effects of communism that was in the Soviet Union, only to now see we got people like Bernie Sanders and the new representative from New York, that it is amazing that people who want socialism in the United States will not go down to Venezuela and see what's going on right now in Venezuela. Socialism does not work. It doesn't work. And why people can't understand that, and they see something on paper they like, and it does not work, people. It doesn't work. So that's why we are glad you're listening to us. Our new listeners, tell your friends and neighbors, and we will keep looking for those things that help lead us toward more freedom, more liberty, and to maintain this country and help it grow in a way that the vision is that we can be, like Dr. King said, a country where we, you know, the color of our skin doesn't matter. People are looked upon or counted on as the content of their character. That's what we want to see in a mighty wave, in a mighty sweep, in a mighty wave. We want to see America, each American, being able to reach their full potential. And this country has not even touched the surface of our potential if we work together for that and help each other out. And this whole thing, the way the Democrats are just pushing toward socialism, barreling full steam ahead. And that's what we're seeing even in this conflict right now with Nancy Pelosi. Will she be Speaker of the House? I've never cared for her very aggressive, progressive policies. And yet, there's some people who don't think she's progressive enough. They want her to be a full-blown socialist, and they're pushing her in that direction. And she'll have challenges to her leadership. She may not be Speaker of the House. We're going to have to wait and see. That's the thing that makes politics interesting. And that's why this show is called Rock Splitting Politics, because there's things that happen that will split us up as between parties, between other things. And we'll see if the Democrats can hold together a coalition and be a place of leadership for the Democratic Party. Whoever is the Speaker of the House, they will be, for all practical purposes, the leader of the Democratic Party. As the president is always the leader of the party he is, and Donald Trump's the head of the Republican Party. And when the Democrats didn't have a leader in the House or the Senate, and President Trump's president, they really had no one person they could say was the leader of the party. But now whoever becomes the Speaker of the House will be the de facto leader of the Democratic Party. So a lot of interesting things coming up. Let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And as we have told you, that we love for you to tell your friends and neighbors. That's how people come hear about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I also got a website where you can buy my book. You can go on, there's a picture of the book on the front page, is Web Talk Radio, Doc Holliday page. You can click on that. It'll take you to www.docholliday.org. Holliday's got two L's, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y, docholliday.org. You can get a book called Bedrock Truths, and that book is written by Dr. Ed Holliday, yours truly, and then Dr. Alveda King and Dr. Alex McFarland. Bedrock Truths. I'm just talking to you about our founding fathers. The founders put together this country on the principles, the Judeo-Christian principles, their foundations, really, this country is founded on. So we talk about that in the book, Bedrock Truth. So you can go online and order that at my website, www.docholliday.org. We appreciate that. And you can also check it out on Amazon. Get it on Amazon. But now, one of the things that I said about these elections still going on were... it's unbelievable. Let me play this clip in just a minute. I'm going to play this clip from Sean Hannity and get his perspective of what happened after the election down in the state of Florida.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. Sweet mercy.
Whew, all right.
That's good.
Now, that was our friend from Fox News, Todd Starnes, telling everybody to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. So I appreciate that little promo from Todd Starnes. He has a great radio show. You can just check out, look up Todd Starnes with a great radio show, and works hard there at Fox News. So take a listen to our friend Todd when you can. And now let me play this clip from Sean Hannity.
Entire blocks were literally wiped away. The area sustained billions upon billions of dollars in damage. But on November the 6th, Floridians in the panhandle, they went to the polls and their votes were counted. Every single one of them on time in accordance with Florida law and Florida's constitution. Sadly, the same cannot be said in southern Florida. In Palm Beach, Broward counties, we are witnessing a colossal disaster. Laws have been broken. Florida's constitution ignored. None of this was caused by a hurricane, but rather by local officials who are incompetent, corrupt, and obviously feel they are above the law that 65 other Florida counties, 65 of 67, adhered to. In Palm Beach County, at least 15,000 new ballots were unearthed and counted after election night. And in Broward County, almost 75,000 so-called uncounted votes magically turning up day after day after day after the election. Tens of thousands of lost ballots just seemingly appeared out of thin air. The vast majority, of course, cast by Democrats. Now, this should not, let me be straightforward, this should not be Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. This shouldn't be about politics. This is much deeper. Whatever your political affiliation, what we're witnessing is a horrific miscarriage of America's most fundamental rights and a serious potential now criminal violation. The law is clear. It is unambiguous. Florida law, let's put it on the screen, quote, says the canvassing board shall report all early voting, all tabulated vote by mail results to the Department of State within 30 minutes after the polls close. The law continues, quote, the canvassing board shall report, with the exception of provisional ballot results, updated precinct election results to the department at least every 45 minutes until results are completely reported. 65 of Florida's 67 counties, they complied with the law, including every county in the panhandle that was absolutely ravaged by Hurricane Michael 27 days prior to the election. Broward, Palm Beach counties totally ignored the law, broke the law. For days, Broward County officials continued to tally literally tens of thousands of votes in violation of state law. It appears yet again we have one system of justice and elections for Democrats and another for the rest of us.
Now, let me jump in right here. I think you can tell Sean is very upset. One system of justice for the Democrats and one for the rest of us. It goes back to, was Hillary Clinton ever really researched? Was she really investigated about those emails that we knew were against the law? No. The hierarchy of the FBI gave her a pass. They still doing it. And Democrats, especially the Clintons, seem to have a whole different level of laws that they have to obey than we have to obey. And now you look at these elections and they keep granting, oh, every vote must be counted. Well, if it's an illegal vote, it doesn't need to be counted. There was one time there in the recount in Florida where the Gillum folks wanted an illegal alien who casted a ballot. They wanted that ballot counted, and they knew it was from an illegal alien, non-citizen. So these are things that frustrate people like you and me that want to see everybody has a legal right to vote. Yes, get them. We're not talking about voter suppression and all these things that people get riled up, and the perception is that Republicans don't want everybody to vote. Look, everybody that legally can cast a ballot should. But my concern and so many others' concern is there's people who be encouraged to, when you get your driver's license, sign up to vote. Well, now they're offering driver's license in a lot of states to illegal aliens, and then they get them signed up to vote. And do they vote? Well, it's been proven. Yes, they do. How many? Who knows? Because they're not letting us check it out. But this, these are things that are so frustrating. Go ahead. Let's listen to Sean.
Now, the supervisor of elections in Broward County, a woman by the name of Brenda Stipes, would not even tell state officials where these mysterious votes were coming from, where the votes had been, how many votes were left to be counted. Again, a violation of law.
Well, as I said, it looks like when things are said and done, when everything's been counted, it looks like Rick Scott will be the new U.S. Senator from the state of Florida, and Ron DeSantis will be the new governor there in Florida. And I think Mr. Hemp is going to be he's governor-elect Hemp now in Georgia. So these races we're all looking at appear at this point to be hopefully in the bag for the Republicans. But some of the things, let me tell you, did you hear what happened in the second congressional district of Maine? The Republican got the most votes, but it was under 50%. So they have what they call rank voting. Just for only place, first time in the United States history here that a federal election was held with rank voting. And now in the state of Maine, and the Republican incumbent got the most votes, but he didn't win the seat because he didn't get 50%, and they didn't do a new, didn't do a runoff or anything. They used this rank voting, and it's everybody knew about it before, and this is, I think it's a way that liberals are trying to come into a system and say, here's how we improve voting, yet it rigs the system toward those who vote Democrat, I believe. At least it sure did in Maine, but the Democrats picked up this seat in Maine, and the Republican got the most votes, but because of the new way to count votes in Maine, it looks like the Democrats have just pulled a rug out from under the Republican incumbent there in Maine. Let me play this little clip right here to better explain what's going on. This is before the election, but listen to as they explain rank voting in the state of Maine.
Good. How are you?
Jared Golden is the Democratic candidate in Maine's neck-and-neck race for the 2nd District. He and his opponents have to consider something that federal candidates haven't had to do thus far in U.S. history, a new way to vote. In 2016 and again in 2018, Maine voters approved ranked choice voting. It's a new voting system that supporters say could solve political problems like minority rule, negative campaigning, and costly recounts.
A simple, fair, common sense system of voting.
Opponents say it's a partisan power grab.
It's not fair and it's unconstitutional.
In reaction to the election of the state's controversial Republican governor, Paul LePage.
It's not purely a reaction to our current governor, is how I would look at it. People have a right to reform our election system.
The way most U.S. elections work is called plurality voting. Voters cast a vote for a single candidate in a field. The candidate with the most votes wins. In ranked choice voting, instead of selecting just one candidate, voters can choose to rank the candidates. They mark their favorite as number one, their second favorite as number two, and so on. When the votes are tallied together, if a candidate gets 50% plus one of the vote, that person is the immediate winner. But if no one gets the majority, the candidate with the least amount of votes gets eliminated, and those votes are transferred to the voter's second choice. If someone hits more than 50% that round, then a winner is declared. If not, the candidate with the lowest votes gets eliminated again, and those votes are applied to the voter's next choice, and so on, until someone gets a majority.
Well, we see how ranked voting did in Maine. It threw the Republican out, who had the most votes, and put a Democrat in. So is ranked voting a good thing? Can we look at this one race and say, hey, it's bad? I don't know. To me, it makes me want to hold my nose and think about the process. It also, when you say, well, it eliminates runoffs, that's true. It could save money that way. But, you know, there's something about having a runoff when somebody's out, then the other two have to keep campaigning when it gets down between two people. Like I said, we have a runoff election now in Mississippi. And those who voted for Chris McDaniel, they got to decide if they're going to get out and vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith, or they're going to stay at home, or they go vote for Mike Espy. So, campaign is more sharpened. It's sharpened and get down to two when you've had a campaign for 7 or 8 months, sometimes with three people. Now it's down to two. And so they have some time to get their message out, resharpen their message, and keep campaigning. Whereas you have the ranked voting, then there may be somebody you don't like, and or somebody gets pushed out and it's down to two people, then you can ask more questions. You can get more defined. So that ranked voting is just something to me. It smells it smells like a rat, okay? And I'm not going to say it's completely wrong. I'm going to have to look at it more, but I don't really have a good taste of it in my mouth now, not after the Republicans lost the House of Representatives, and this is one of the districts that went from Republican to Democrat, and the Republican had the most votes. So it doesn't smell real good to Doc Holliday's smell test at this point. Okay, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This is the week of Thanksgiving. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to the founders of America, for those who've gone before us, our veterans. Go out and do something good for a veteran. And just say thank you. Thank you for your service. And for those who have, the families who have given family members in during the service, thank you. Thank you all. And this is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We'll be back next week because there's one thing for sure. The rocks of politics are going to keep on breaking, cracking, dividing, and we're going to talk about it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.